This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, November 21, 2024. The Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
In the holy tent I minister before him, and my abode is in the full assembly of the saints. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words from the first reading today about the personification of wisdom, dwelling in the holy tent and abiding in the full assembly of the saints. It's a very poetic reading that we hear on a lot of Marian feast days. This from the book of Sirach. For those of you who use older version of the Bible, Ecclesiasticus, it is a very poetic imagery of wisdom personified. This is what the Old Testament is all about. The Old Testament is forever showing us types, figures, shadows of what's going to come to fulfillment when the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ comes and he establishes the church. It's very poetic imagery of wisdom personified in verse, personified in words. But it's not a message about wisdom per se. It is first and foremost a message of how privileged the people of God are to have wisdom amongst them, how privileged they are because wisdom permeates who they are or should. She is active and in a special way present with them, where she is not with other people. This is a privilege of the Old Testament. How much more are we privileged because we don't have wisdom personified in verses? We don't just have wisdom personified in shadows, in types, in propositions. We have wisdom personified in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, when you look at those passages, you can say sometimes, and they are, and rightfully so, applied to our Lord, who is the manifestation of God's wisdom among us. But there's also the discussion that there is a creaturely aspect. God is not a creature. God is the creator. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the creature. This is why that passage is applied more to the Blessed Virgin Mary than it is to our Lord in Catholic liturgy, because we have to understand the glories and the privileges we have as the church for having her as our mother. When our Lord is hanging on the cross and he looks out, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother, where he gives the church as adopted sons and daughters to the Blessed Virgin Mary, this is where we need to focus our attention. Again, today's the presentation, but as opposed to the historical aspects of the presentation, it's just an appreciation of why. Why do we even pay any attention to the presentation? Talk to your Protestant friends. Talking about the presentation of our Lord or our the Blessed Mother in the temple. That's not in Scripture anywhere. And you know what? They are absolutely correct. The presentation of our Blessed Mother in the Scriptures is absent completely. Why do we believe this? Why do we have an obligatory memorial to the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary when that's not even in Scripture? Well, for one thing, we're not Protestants. And we don't look at Scripture as the only way that any truths of the Scriptures are revealed, or any truths of the faith are presented to us. We have an entire deposit of the faith. We have the Scriptures, and we have the tradition of the Church, capital T, which have to coincide absolutely with Scripture. And then we have the consistent magisterial teaching of the Church. And all of those elements of the deposit of faith point to the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the temple. Where do we get this stuff? We get the stuff from the earliest days of the Christian faith. In the earliest days of Christianity, there were writings about the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the temple in Jerusalem. First and foremost, where we get this is the Gospel of James. Now, there's four Gospels, and the Gospel of James is one of them. It's an apocryphal writing. A lot of people, they like shut down as soon as they hear apocryphal writing. It's apocryphal. It's not scripture. It's apocryphal, and it's not scripture, but they speak very, very boldly, and they speak very, very pointedly into some things that the church has embraced unequivocally. The Gospel of James, it says, "And a child became 3 years old," speaking of the Blessed Virgin, "the child became 3 years old, and Joachim said, 'Call the daughters of the Hebrews that are undefiled. Let them take every one a lamp. Let them be burning, that the child turn not backward, and her heart be taken captive away from the temple of the Lord.' And they did so until they were gone up into the temple of the Lord. And the priest perceived her, and kissed her, and blessed her, and said, 'The Lord hath magnified thy name among all generations. In thee, in the latter days, shall the Lord make manifest his redemption unto the children of Israel.'" Yep, apocryphal, but it agrees absolutely at every point with Scripture. So we take Scripture and things that are implicit, and we take things that are written by the early church, and we put the two and two together, and we work them out. If you want to discount the details of what St. Joachim says about bringing her to the temple and having virgins follow them with her, give or take that one. But the second part of that, "And their priest received her and kissed her and blessed her and said, 'The Lord magnified thee among all generations.'" To the Annunciation, "All generations shall call me blessed. In the latter days, they shall the Lord make manifest his redemption unto the children of Israel." What is that speaking about? The incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ that is in Scripture. So when you take these things that the early church believed, the Gospel of James, it's a relatively lengthy, we never want to discount something that's just because it's not Scripture. For instance, the Book of Enoch. We get a lot of what we believe in the church from the Book of Enoch, which is also apocryphal. We get things from the Gospel of James that is apocryphal. The Gospel of James, it's interesting. The Gospel of James speaks, it's second century. You got to go back, second century. We're talking just 20, 40 years after our Lord ascended into heaven. So very, very early in the church. In the Gospel of James, I mean, back in the day, it took a lot to write things down. Okay, this is just word of mouth. This is written down second century. There are still fragments that are extant of this. It speaks of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It speaks of her upbringing, part of which is the presentation of the temple. Speaks about her marriage to Saint Joseph. It is the earliest written work that asserts the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that kind of makes a point right there. Are you going to blow off something because it's apocryphal? Well, I wouldn't do that if I were you, because the perpetual virginity is a dogma of the Catholic Church. You must believe it to be a Catholic. It's dogmatic. And where does it come from? The Gospel of James is the first place where, why? Because what James says about it jives with what is implied in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, particularly the whole concept of our Blessed Mother being the Ark of the New Covenant. This is why we are attentive to and venerate and celebrate the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because when you look at it, you know, we have details, not just in the Gospel of James. You have details from the earliest church tradition that, for instance, the priest that received the Blessed Mother when she was presented to the temple is Saint Zachary, who is the father of Saint John the Baptist. That's our tradition has taught us that. I don't believe that. I don't see it. Well, don't if you don't want to. It isn't the tradition of your church. There's a very, very historic and thoughtfully approached book called The Golden Legend. Talks about all kinds of stories about the saints and everything, and it speaks at length of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mother. St. Jerome, St. Jerome. We look at St. Jerome and his writings. One commentator talks about the writings of St. Jerome. Jerome saith in an epistle that the Blessed Virgin Mary has ordained the custom of herself that in the morning in the temple she would raise up at the ninth hour. And she was in prayer, and from the third hour until the ninth hour she attended to her work. And after the ninth hour she ceased not to pray. This is St. Jerome who wrote this. Okay, when saints write something, can you give it or take it? I would say don't put your eggs in the basket of not listening to what a saint of Holy Church says. And who do we go to if you really want to know something about the past? Do you read things and listen to people who lived several centuries later? Or do you do yourself well by understanding what people who lived at that time believed? This is the way we need to approach things. Time goes on, people start to put their own conjectures on this, that, or the other thing. Anything in history. Name of an aspect of history. You want to read primary sources. You want to read about the people, what they believed, who lived in that time. And in the earliest days of the church, it was an absolute amongst all Christians that the Blessed Virgin Mary was presented in the temple. And that's where she lived in her younger days. Because when you step back, there are some aspects of our faith that are, of course, propositional. There are some things in our faith that are dogmatic. You just believe in because the church teaches that. There are other things that are kind of common sense. I mean, you got to step back. The common sense. It's common sense. And I'll wind this all up in this. Just giving some, you know, this in scripture, this in the writings of the old ancient fathers and all the guy. But if you look at the whole thing from a common sense standpoint, the first reading that we read today, in the Holy Tent I minister to him, and my abode is a full assembly of the saints. We are told by the Holy Spirit that this personification of wisdom is going to be dedicated to the Lord, and she's going to be immersed in religion. Where are you immersed in religion back in those days, except at the temple? This is where you're immersed in religion. And this is where this common sense kind of prevails, or should prevail. It would defy reason to think that the Immaculate One, the one who is immaculately conceived to prepare herself for the task of being the Mother of God, it would defy reason to think that she's immaculately conceived, but after that, then everything's just like a normal kid until the Annunciation. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it does not jive with what Scripture says about this personification of wisdom, that she's going to be immersed in religion, that she is going to be rooted and founded in places of faith. Where is that? It's the temple. To think that the Blessed Virgin Mary was just one of the girls running around for 15, 16 years before the Annunciation, that doesn't even make any sense. The Immaculate One. This is, you know, we've got to think in these terms. This is why we believe what we do. This is why we worship the way we do. This is why our liturgy speaks of the things that it does. We're talking about the preparation of the Ark of the Covenant, the Mother of God. There's not a parenthesis in her life from the Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation. That would defy logic. And why on earth would God immaculately conceive in the womb of St. Anne, the Blessed Virgin Mary? Why would he do that and then leave her to the devices and temptations of the world? It defies logic. That would not happen. Our Lord did immaculately conceive the Blessed Virgin Mary, and upon her being weaned from her mother, she was presented in the temple. Doesn't mean her mother abandoned her. Her mother lived right there. There's all these visits going back and forth. It's always like she abandoned her to the temple. No, but that's where she lived in prayer and in solitude and meditation until her marriage to St. Joseph and the subsequent Annunciation. So this is why we believe the things that we believe. We just live in a day and age where you love details, well, how this and why this and all this kind of stuff. Step back and just look, common sense. Common sense. She's the Mother of God. She's just not one of the girls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.